Well, we're blessed today in so many remarkable ways. It's a great day to be together. Glad that you are here. Thank you, Cambiata. Beautiful. Thank you. You know, I hope that you have some people in your life that speak into your life, give you a gift of grace and a message of mercy, and people that motivate you, kind of even challenge you and encourage you to do better and to be stronger in the ways that you live out your life and your faith journey. So I have a lot of those folks in my life. Recently, I've been reading a couple of remarkable women, Phyllis Tickle and Elaine Heath. They are incredible folks. They both have separate kinds of ministries. Phyllis is a woman who speaks really clearly into the new church community today. And Elaine is a woman who has remarkably lived out her life and her journey by inviting young people into intense spiritual formation by serving their communities in just incredible ways. But I have a number of other folks that speak to me. Phyllis and Elaine are people that you would go to today, and you could speak to them. But I have others that speak to me that are from a previous generation that are no longer available for us to talk to them face to face, and so I encountered them through their writings. And lately, I've been rereading the works of Dr. E. Stanley Jones. So I've mentioned Dr. Jones to you before, and I know many of you are familiar with his missionary ministry. Remarkable guy, one of the key leaders, one of the key Methodist movement leaders in his generation, most remarkably, like from about the 1920s to the late 1960s. Just an incredible influence on the life of the church. And Dr. Jones, even though he was an incredibly powerful guy, and his faith journey was so potent that people were just kind of magnetically drawn to him, even though that was the center of who he was in his faith journey, he always introduced himself and identified himself in the same way. He called himself a Christian in the making, that he was just in the process. He was being made into the image of Christ, just that continual process. And for every single one of us, regardless of where we are on our Christian journey, we are Christians in the making. And so we're thinking this five-week series now about what it means to be Christians who are being formed, who are being shaped, who are being built into something really remarkable. And this morning, we're going to think about what it means to kind of go big. We're going to read together from Matthew chapter 19, the closing verses. Passage is very familiar to many as we think just about this encounter between Jesus and a young man who apparently had significant wealth. Here's this encounter. It says, then someone came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Also, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said to him, "I have kept all these. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give your money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, and they said, "Then who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals, it is impossible, but for God, all things are possible." Then Peter said in reply, "Look, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne in his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or family or mother or children or fields for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Let's pray together. Lord, it is our desire to give you these moments and to ask your blessing, and to ask God that you would lead us and that you would teach us, and by the power of your Spirit, you would make yourself known to us, that truly your will might be done in our lives. And we would give you thanks for that. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Well, I am guessing that in this past week, you have probably received an invitation or two. Have you received an invitation? You gotten anything in the mail? Any invitations in the mail? Have you gotten any invitations? I get invitations all the time. You haven't gotten any invitations? Oh, I get the most interesting invitations. People want me to come and eat at their restaurant. People want me to come and shop at their store. You know, you got those kind of invitations? You get invitations like that? We all get invitations. You know, sometimes there are really fun invitations, like you might open that formal invitation because somebody's getting married. Or that invitation that invites you to come to graduation season that's right on the horizon, or a birthday event, or something, you know, a little more remarkable than please vote for my candidate or something like that. But we receive invitations, so invitations are just kind of a way of life for us. They become so familiar to us that we sort of discount them quite often. But this morning we're going to think about an invitation, a divine invitation. It's an invitation that comes right from the heart of God. It's an invitation that comes from the risen Lord Jesus himself. It's an invitation that says, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, invites you into his presence. Invites you into a daily and deep walk of Christian discipleship. It's a really remarkable invitation when you think about it. It's a great gift to have that kind of invitation, and it's an invitation that comes to every single one of us on this day. It actually comes to us every single day, but it's a remarkable invitation, and we have to decide whether we're going to attend or not. We have to decide what we're going to do in response to that invitation. Remember the rich young ruler, this young man we just read about. I mean, here he comes to Jesus, and he has this opportunity. What an incredible opportunity to be face-to-face with Jesus. And he asks the Lord, what is it that I must do? What good thing? What am I lacking? And Jesus said, well, keep the commandments. And then he identifies a handful of the commandments, and the young man says, well, I've done all those things. What still am I missing? And Jesus said, here's what you're missing. I want you to do something big. I want you to do something significant. I want to do something that's outside of your character. I want to do something that's outside of your current values, outside of your own identity. I want to invite you to take a step really, really deep into your faith journey. And the young man heard that and walked away grieving. He couldn't respond to the invitation that Jesus offered that said, come, follow me, because that's the basic invitation that comes to every one of us. Come and follow. So when we decide that we're going to come and follow, we know that there are different ways that individuals follow. And there are different sequences in our own spiritual journey that help us understand what the next step might be. So when we think about the invitation of God today, when we think about Jesus offering us this invitation into deeper Christian discipleship, for some of us gathered here today, the invitation will be more like a starting line. You know, for us, when we think about the nature of faith, we think about baptism. The waters of baptism become kind of the starting line for us. For many people, baptism is just a marking spot because faith has begun to develop long before baptism might ever happen. But baptism is really the starting line for us. And for some, the invitation to follow is just an invitation to breathe deep, take a moment, and just touch the waters of baptism. Get to the starting line and begin the journey by just experiencing the gift of forgiveness and the blessing of grace. Now, for others who are here right now, the invitation and the response is a little bit different. You remember when Jesus was there at the Jordan River with John the Baptist for his own baptism. And he stood there on the side of the Jordan, and John the Baptist looked up at him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And Jesus began to step into the water. He didn't just dive in. He stepped in. First he got his sandals wet, and then his ankles, and then up to his knees, until finally he's completely immersed in the sacred waters of life, the living water of God that provided baptism. And then he came up out of that water, and he stood there. And for some of us, the invitation is to stand and be counted, to say, "I am a believer. I know what God has done for me. My faith is important to me, and I stand there." Because when Jesus came out of the waters of baptism and he stood there, you remember what happened? The voice of God came and said, "This is my child, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And with all my heart, I believe that God has spoken exactly those same words over every single person gathered here right now. "My child, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." And the invitation, come, follow me. So stand and be counted. For others, the invitation is a little bit different. For others, it's more of an invitation about the waters of baptism, kind of pushing out into some deeper waters. And you know what happens when you push out into deeper water? You become part of the answer to the Apostle Paul's prayer. Do you remember the prayer that Pat read for us just a few minutes ago? It sounds like this. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name." And here's the prayer. "I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. And I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God." You become an answer to that prayer when you press out into deep water. Remember when Simon Peter and the other disciples, they were there on the shore, and they had been out fishing all night. They had worked all night long and had cast their nets time and time again, and they came back empty. They didn't catch a single thing all night long. And then along comes Jesus, and he says, "Peter, why don't you push your boat out again?" And Peter says, No. I've been out there all night. Didn't catch a single thing. I got things to do. I've got stuff I've got to take care of. I'm not going to push my boat out there into that water." But Jesus persists, and finally, Peter responds to the invitation, and he pushes out into deep water. And Jesus says, "Cast your net on the other side. Do it a little different." And he casts his net on the other side, and the result is a miraculous catch. When you press out into deeper water, for some here right now, that means pressing out into a deeper level of Christian discipleship, maybe digging deeper into the Bible, maybe accomplishing that task that you've been dreaming about for a long time, or fulfilling that mission that you know God has been stirring you up to be able to do, or just living out what you know God has already provided for you. That's about pushing into deeper water. So for some, it's about coming to the starting line and just touching the waters of baptism. And for some, it's about standing and being counted. And for others, it's really about pushing out into deep water, but there's still more. Some of you are perhaps being called to what we might describe as an adventure of a lifetime. You've been on an adventure of your lifetime? Have you done that? Have you done a lifetime adventure? How many of you have been whitewater rafting? How many of you have done that? You know? Oh, good. All right. So you know the routine. So you know that in whitewater rafting, there are six different classes of rapids. So class one rapids, you know, it's just kind of smooth sailing. You know, it's just kind of a little ripple on the water. No big problem. Just enjoy the day. And class two just means that the speed has picked up just a little bit, you know, and you might need to maneuver some, but mostly you're just enjoying the sun. And class three means that things are really getting a little more rapid. Now there's some real white water and it's moving faster and you gotta kind of pay attention. And class four means that if you're not paying attention, you might be in trouble because there are gonna be some standing waves and maybe a drop and some difficult rocks, and you've gotta be able to make more precise movements around. And class five means that the rapids are now moving and there's great volume and there's speed involved and you've gotta be on your game to be able to get there. And class six is dangerous. And requires great courage and deep faith. Now, some of you maybe need to step in some deeper water that's a little more rapid than what you're swimming in right now. Maybe you need to move to a different class of rapids. And if you decide to move to something more difficult, let me promise you this, it will be difficult for sure. There will be problems. There'll be times when you might fail. You might fall short. You might even fall out of the raft. You might lose an oar. You might have to just float on your own down the river for a little while until you can gang up with your group again. But here's what'll happen. God will bless you and will encourage you and will provide for you. And if you push out into something that becomes a great adventure, that great adventure will be a blessing to many, many others and a blessing to you as well. And in the process, you'll know the grace of God in your own life. There's still another way that the waters of life kind of surround us. Have you noticed that as we've been thinking about these different elements, that the number of people who are involved seems to get smaller and smaller? Have you noticed that? So we can all come to the baptism waters and we can all touch the water, we can all reaffirm our faith, and we can say, yes, I believe in the forgiving power of God. We can all do that. Many of us can stand and be counted, and a lot of us can push out into deeper water, and a handful of people are going to take that great adventure. But here's an invitation that is a part of the follow me of Jesus that belongs to every single one of us. It's the invitation to become an invitation. It's like God invites us to stand waist deep in the waters of life and to say, I'm going to spend my life telling other people about what God has done for me. And so I'm going to offer the invitation that Jesus offered when he said, come, follow me. I'll offer that same invitation to others that they might know the power of God in their lives. Sometimes that's the hardest part for us. Do you know those old jokes about how many people does it take to, you know, how many Methodists does it take to change a light bulb? The answer is change. What do you mean change? You know. Well, here's the change. The change is the invitation to say yes to the follow me invitation of God. Follow me. And I'll make you fishers of people. That's an invitation that belongs to all of us, every single one of us. We don't know what happened to that young man who came to Jesus on that day and said, what am I lacking? What am I missing? But we do know this. We know that for whatever reasons, he wasn't able to respond to the deep question, to the remarkable invitation to follow. And so he walked away sad. We don't know what happened to him beyond that. But we do know this. Today is the only day that we have. Today is the only day that we have. And we want to use it well. And we want our lives to count for something. And so when we think about our Christian discipleship, we want to build big. We want to push out into deep water. We want a great adventure. So today is a great day to begin that process of responding to the follow me invitation. To say, yes, I want to build big. I want to be a Christian in the making. God, build me and shape me. Today is a great day to get really, really wet. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, bring us to your table. Bring us to our knees. Shape us by your heart. Create in us pure hearts and grant us the presence of your Spirit. For we trust you this day and we offer ourselves in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.